We are the remnant of Tucson Church. Here is a message from one of our pastors.
We are going to be in Acts chapter 19, and I really think that this is there's really 4 points in this teaching, but this teaching at the very end of it, it is a call to action. So I'm just letting you know that beforehand, that as we go through this passage, as we go through what's happening right now with this city, there is definitely a call to action at the end that the people respond to. And so that's what we're going to see a lot in the book of Acts, is a lot of response, right? Of the gospel going out, of people sharing the gospel, of things happening within the apostles, within the disciples that are going and preaching the gospel, and then people's reaction, good or bad. And we've seen those both, especially in the first half of this book that we've been going through, is there is a lot of persecution. There's a lot of moving around. There's a lot of threats, and that's what you get in this chapter. And so there's basically two parts of Acts chapter 19. There is this revival that happens, and then there's the rejection that happens of the gospel. This kind of spiritual awakening that people receive, and then the rejection, and even going into a riot of not wanting the gospel whatsoever. And so we're going to focus more on the good part of this chapter, the part that's more exciting to teach about, which is the revival part. But just know that if you want to continue on reading this chapter, the rest of chapter 19 is all about the rejection of the gospel. So I'm going to pray one more time, and then we're going to dive into Acts chapter 19. Father, we come before you again this morning. Lord, we thank you for meeting us here. We thank you for those who are here, Lord, who are ready to receive from you. I just pray, Lord, that this room be filled with your Holy Spirit even more than it is now, that you would be the one teaching us, speaking to us. And we just thank you for your word that never comes back void. And we thank you that every single time your word goes out, it does require a response. And so I just lift up this group to you this morning, that we would be able to respond in the way that you have asked us to. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we look at the book of Acts in chapter 19. Christianity is going out. And so what's happening here is that they are in Ephesus. And so Paul is speaking to the Ephesians right here. And as the gospel is going out, just like any truth that goes out, any truth that you may speak into someone's life, and especially the truth of the gospel that's being spoken out to people, it is light. Right? When you speak truth, you are speaking light into a situation. And so as Christianity is being spoken out right now by these apostles, by Paul, by even Luke, who we think that wrote this book, as it's going out, light is basically touching Ephesus. It's touching the city and the people of the city. And so as that happens, right, darkness is confronted. And you really have to pick. When you are exposed to truth, especially the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life, when God speaks to you and speaks life into you and shows you those dark areas of your life and tries to bring light into those dark areas of your life, you can either accept that and you can grow with him, right? You can ask for forgiveness. You can kind of do away with maybe fear and walk forward into what he has for you. The basic idea here is that as the gospel is being preached to this group, light is being shown to this group, truth is being shown to them, and it's exposing the darkness that they have. It's exposing the darkness in this community. It's exposing the darkness in what they do, how they think, how they practice. And that still happens today. If the gospel is going out today, either someone's going to see the light of it or they're going to reject it. And they're going to continue on in their darkness. If Jesus shows you something this morning, right? If the Holy Spirit speaks to you in the middle of the night, right? At your lowest or your highest points in your life or throughout your week, you can either accept that, whatever it may be, right? If it's encouragement, conviction, doing away with fear, whatever it may be, you can either accept that exposure of what Jesus is trying to tell you through the Holy Spirit, or you can reject it and you continue to walk in the darkness. You can allow that part of your life to still be hidden from him. And so there's separation that happens because the gospel does confront people. And so Jesus right now is being proclaimed. The gospel is being proclaimed to this group. The word of God is going forward to this group, and it's striking the hearts and the soul of the people of Ephesus. And it's going to have an effect. And like I just prayed, is that the word of God never comes back void. There's always a reason. There's always a purpose for it. And so every time you open up your Bible, every time that you listen to a teaching or you come here on Sunday mornings, the word of God is going to be spoken, and it does not come back void. There is a purpose behind it. It's alive and it's active. And depending on you and your heart and your mind to receive it, right, it can do something, but it's always going to have an effect. It's always going to cause some kind of reaction. And so what happens here in this passage, and what hopefully would happen in this room, is that as the gospel goes out to this group of people, they do have this spiritual awakening, or some may call it a revival. That's the first half of this chapter. People receive it. They choose not to continue to walk in the darkness, but to choose to walk in the light. They choose to receive the gospel, to receive Jesus. And then others choose to reject it. They actually choose to riot a little bit, right? And they move forward in their darkness. And so the other half of the people that we're reading about in the first half of this chapter that choose to walk into it and actually respond to it in the correct way. And so we're going to be, again, like I said, Acts chapter 19. We're going to actually start off in verse 8. And it says, he, talking about Paul, went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way, so that's what they used to call Christians in the first century, the way, right? That's why it's capitalized here. So, but some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way, or spoke evil of Christians at that time before the multitude, he departed from them, withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And so where they're at is modern day Turkey. That's where they're at right now, right? They're in Ephesus, speaking to the Ephesians, modern day Turkey. He's preaching the gospel. It says right there, for boldly in the synagogue for 3 months. So he's kind of just doing his thing. This is what Paul would do. He would go out to different communities, right? What we see a lot in the book of Acts is Jewish communities who had synagogues, and then he would go and he would speak, and he would share the things that the Lord showed him, and he would, in a sense, disciple the people who are there willing to listen. And so he did that for 3 months, and then after those 3 months, people got upset, leadership got upset, right? And later on, started that riot. And as they did that, they rejected where he was and they pushed him out. So he had to withdraw himself. And then this opportunity opens up at this school, right? And then he goes there and he speaks for 2 years. He's there. For 2 years, he is spending thousands of hours, when you're really looking at it, talking to whoever is willing to listen, teaching whoever is willing to listen, to be a disciple, to be a student of the Lord. And so what you have here is Paul's dedication to the word of God, doing what he can do faithfully to serve God, not only for 3 months, but for the 2 years that follow after that. And so he's basically putting in the work. He's studying himself. He's being spoken to the Lord himself, and then speaks those wonders and truths that he is learning from the Lord to the people who are willing to listen to him. And that is what God requires us to do too. In our studying, right, in our pursuing of who God is in our lives, it is for us, first of all, right? The Bible says that we are the first ones to partake in the harvest of our own lives, right? To taste their own fruit. So when God is working in you, you get the joy of that first, right? When God is speaking to you, you get the joy of that first. When God shows you wonders and when God shows you truths, you get to partake in that first. But it's not just for you, right? You have opportunities. Every single one of us have opportunities to take the things that God has shown us, right? The things that God has saved us from, to take the wonders and the truths that we have learned from the Lord and then to share those with other people, right? So you are a student, you are a disciple, you are a follower of Christ, and every single one of you guys have the opportunity to be teachers too of Christ, to share with others the things that God has shared you, to comfort others in the same way that Christ has comforted you. You have that opportunity, and so that's what Paul is doing, is that he's taking the things that he knows of the Lord, he's taking the things that God has shown him, the wonders and the truths that God has revealed to him, and he's sharing those with other people. And Paul just didn't share this inspirational hype story with these people, right? He didn't share these inspirational ideas. The Bible says that he reasoned, he persuaded, he taught the word of God boldly and consistently for 2 years. So there was a dedication that he had to Ephesus, to these people. And it's because of Paul's dedication that he had to these people that eventually there was this revival or this spiritual awakening. And it didn't come from something hyper, right? It didn't come from lights. It didn't come from a stage. It didn't come from anything else, but for a hunger of the word of God. That's where this spiritual awakening came from that we're going to read about. That's where this revival, in a sense, happened within this community. So there is, first of all, if you're taking notes, a dedication to the word of God. And so if you want a revival in your own life, or your desire is that your family, right, or your friend group, your environment, your coworkers, those you interact with, that they would have a spiritual awakening, that a revival would start within people in your own community, right? Those who you are closest with, those who you sit at a table with, the first thing that you need to do to even allow that to be a possibility is that there needs to be dedication of the word of God in your own personal life. So then you're able, right, to be ready and be prepared if other people are questioning, have doubts, right, need some more information, right, need to understand the wonders and the truths of who Jesus is, that need to understand the simplicity of the gospel. And so if you're seeking for those around you and those lives to be changed around you, for people around you, again, to have a spiritual awakening, right, there needs to be a dedication on your part for the word of God. If you want more out of your relationship with the Lord, if you want a revival within your own self, right, if you want constant revelation in your own life of who Jesus is, there needs to be a dedication of the word of God in your own life. You are called, I am called to be a student, a disciple, right, an apprentice of Jesus. And so I have everything available to me for that to happen. You have everything available for that to happen. You have the word of God, you have a church, you have the internet now, right? You have so many resources, right, to not be ignorant of the ways of what God wants to do and how God wants to work with you in your own life. And so that's the first point here, is that there needs to be a dedication to God's word. And then the second point is, we're going to start off in verse 11, is that miracles start being done. So as the word of God goes out, right, God will reveal himself, and what he chooses to do with these people of Ephesus, as the word of God is going out, and as Paul is preaching to them for now years, miracles start to happen, right? The Holy Spirit starts to show up within this community, within this group of people that Paul is ministering to. So in verse 11, it says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them." So you have dedication, right? And then you have miracles happening. And so the example that he's giving us here is that by a handkerchief, right, which is basically something you wipe your sweat with, right? So by the sweat of Paul, right, this handkerchief off his body or of an apron, people are being healed by it, right? There's miracles happening. And this is the thing when it comes to miracles in the Word of God. And we went through this when we went through all the miracles, basically, in the Gospel of John, is that I cannot explain to you, nor anyone else, how God heals people, because what you see in the Gospels and what you're seeing here is God chooses to do it differently every single time. And there's a reason for that, I believe, is that he doesn't want anyone to imitate, right, the way that he heals, because it's different. Every single way that God heals someone in Scripture, when we read the Gospels and we see Jesus, right, being an instrument of that healing, it's always different. And again, I believe the reason for that is because God doesn't want a whole bunch of imitators walking around of this is how you heal, because this is how Jesus did. He did it in so many different ways. And so what we have here is people being healed by a handkerchief. What we have in other scripture is people being healed by a shadow of Peter, right? Like, there's so many different ways that Jesus chooses to heal people. And what we see is that the way he's healing people in here is a little bit odd, is a little bit different from what we see in the Gospels, but it's healing nonetheless. And what I believe, right, is that these people at Ephesus, because of what they practice, that they were more willing to be healed in any type of way. Because if you look at the people of Ephesus, these people here, they were involved in spiritual things. They followed and worshiped other gods. And so they were spiritual people. They did have this spiritual mindset. And it wasn't towards Jesus. It wasn't towards the gospel, right? But they were spiritual people. And so I believe that God used any way that he could, because these people were open to heal people in the way he wanted them to, so that he can get the recognition. And so they are open to it. They're open to it because, again, these people of Ephesus, they are spiritual people. They had superstitions. They had practices of magic and of sorcery. And so God maybe, right, saw this and worked in a way that he needed to work to meet the people where they're at. That he said, you know what? These people are magical, right? They think they're magical. These people are hyper-spiritual. These people do believe in potions, and they have books. They have all these things. They have different gods that they follow, different temples that they go to. And so for me to show myself, I'm going to meet them where they're at. And so I'm going to do unusual miracles so that they know something different is happening here. That's what I think. Because these people did practice sorcery, because they did have potions, what we're going to read later, they did have books, they did have so much other stuff. They were hyper-spiritual people, that the way that God came into miracles with them is to do unusual miracles, to get their attention that maybe this was a little bit different. And I would say for us as a church, and for the Western church as a whole, right, that we need to be a little bit more open to healings. We need to be a little bit more open to God doing miracles in our lives, to doing miracles within the church, to use us to do miracles, right? And when we look at Jesus, right, we believe that he died on the sins for our cross. We believe that we're new creations in him. We believe, right, that there's this afterlife with him. We believe that he created the heavens and the earth. But for some reason, when it comes to miracles, probably because it's been abused so much in history, there is this fear that comes with healing. There is this fear that comes with asking for healing. And so when we look at scripture, that's a challenge for us, maybe some of us in this room, to be a little bit more open to the miracles of the Lord in your life. Because if there's dedications to God's word, then God wants to take what he's doing in your life spiritually and use you in spiritual ways. And that may manifest in the giftings of healing. And that's what's happening here. You have a dedication of God's word, right? And then you have Paul being used to do miracles, unusual miracles, but miracles nonetheless, of healing to this group. And so what you see is that their eyes are slowly being opened. Over the span of 3 months, over the span of 2 years, they're understanding God's word, and then now they're seeing the Holy Spirit use Paul in unusual ways to do the acts that Jesus did while he was here, right? And specifically miracles right now. And so when you're looking at things to happen, if you're looking at a spiritual awakening or a revelation in your own life, there is this dedication to God's word, but then there also needs to be this openness to actually be used by God. To be used by God in maybe ways that you yourself may think are unusual, right? But God wants to use you nonetheless. Look at verse 13. It says, then some of these Jews who were exorcists, so these Jews who were kind of these traveling Jews that went out to do things like spiritual things. And so they took it upon themselves to call the name of Lord Jesus over those who have evil spirits, saying, verse 13, saying that by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, verse 14, also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped of them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And so there's an exorcist that's going on here, right? And these Jewish leaders that say they have the power to do this are trying to now do a miracle, right? In getting these demons out of these individual people. And then the demons reply basically, and they say, listen, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but who are you? That is what the spirit is answering them. And the man in whom the evil spirit leaped from them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And so in this hyper-spiritual place of Ephesus, right, you have these Jewish people who think that they can cast now demons out of people. And they try to do that to an individual person, and they say, listen, we know of Jesus, who you're saying you have the authority of, and we even know Paul, but we don't know you. And then they get casted out onto them, and they get wounded, and then they're naked, right? They basically get played by these spirits. That's what's happening here. And so you see the sons of Sceva, that these sons of Sceva who are going out in the name of the Lord don't actually have the power of the Lord behind them, right? They don't have the power of Jesus behind them. And so what you see in spiritual awakening is that as the word of God is going out, right? And as Jesus is trying to show himself within healings and miracles, right? Trying to make himself evident, you are then going to have, whenever God is moving, some spiritual warfare. And that's what's happening here, is that now these people of Ephesus are experiencing some spiritual warfare of their community, of what is going on with their people. And so these Jewish people who think that they can cast out demons, they go and they say, listen, in the power of the Lord Jesus. And they say, listen, you don't even know who the Lord Jesus is. We don't know who you are. We know who he is, right? We know who Paul is, but who are you? And so with this fake authority, basically, right, they do not have the power to do the things that they believe and have seen Paul do themselves, because they don't really know Jesus. These Jews here who are trying to practice of the way, who are trying to do things like Christians are meant to do, like Paul has done, they don't have the authority of Jesus because they don't have a relationship with Jesus. As Paul is teaching others, and as Paul is being used by the Lord, right, to do miracles, other people are watching that and think that they have that same power, thinking that they have those same opportunities, thinking that they're able to do those same things. But they don't know the Jesus that Paul knows. They don't know the Jesus that he has been preaching about, has been teaching about. They do not know Jesus whatsoever, and as far as having a relationship with him. And so that is a lesson for us, is that as we are dedicated to God's word, right, and as we allow God to speak into our own lives and to do things in our lives, what that is doing is that that is bonding us and growing our own personal relationship with the Lord. These other Jews who think that they have it just because they know who he is are very disconnected from the whole relationship aspect of what's going on. If you want a spiritual awakening, if you want a revival to happen, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You yourself have to know Jesus. You yourself have to be a student of Jesus. You yourself have to allow Jesus to do things in your own life, to do miracles in your own life. You cannot know Jesus through someone else. You cannot know Jesus through your parents, right? You cannot know Jesus through your husband or through your wife. You cannot know Jesus through your friendships of those others who know Jesus. You personally have to know who he is. You personally have to be dedicated to the Word of God. You personally have to be open for God to do a spiritual awakening and a revival in your own life. Because you can know all these things and think that you know Jesus and go out and do things for him, right? But they will not work because you yourself do not have a relationship with him. So these people of Ephesus, right? There are those who are playing the game, right? And those who are really in it. And so what scripture is telling us here is that don't be like those who know Jesus because of someone else. You yourself get to know who he is. You yourself have a relationship with him. And I do think that for some of us, at least for maybe some time or maybe some of us in this room, that we think we know Jesus, but we just know the Jesus of our parents. Or we just know the Jesus of our friends. Or we just know the Jesus of our husbands or our wives, right? Or maybe we know the Jesus of our children, but we ourselves do not know Jesus. We do not have a personal relationship with him. And you know that for yourself, because you can simply think about the cross, and if the cross means forgiveness for you, right? If the cross means love, right? If the cross means hope, right? If the cross means that there's no more guilt or shame over your sins who have been forgiven, then you do know who Jesus is. These, though, who are faking it, right? Who are just playing the game, they don't know the cross. They don't know the forgiveness. They don't know the relationship because there is no dedication, right? There is no spiritual awakening in their own lives. And so he's making it very clear here that there is a spiritual warfare going on. There is a spiritual warfare going on within the city, within this group of people. And in the same way, there's a spiritual warfare going on over you. Because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy wants you to think that you know Jesus, but you really just know the Jesus of someone else, of your parents, of your spouse, of your friends. Maybe you just know the Jesus of your childhood and you don't know him now as a young adult, as an adult, right, as an older person, right? That you're living your spirituality off of not new revelation, off of not new miracles or spiritual awakening, right? You're not knowing Jesus now off of new dedication to his word, but off of the past, right? Off of the old stuff and not the new stuff, not the new revelation, the new teachings, the new ways that God wants to work within your life. What Paul is trying to get through to these Ephesians people is that just stop messing around. That's what he's trying to get through them. Stop thinking or saying that you know Jesus when you don't. Be dedicated to his word. Allow him to speak into your life. Allow him to use you in your life. Allow him to do miracles within your life. Allow yourself to have a spiritual awakening so you can do the things that God has asked you to do. And so the last thing is in verse 17. We're going to finish off going to verse 20. It says, "These became known both to all the Jews and all the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. The fear fell on them all, and the Lord, or sorry, in the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." And so what you have is this understanding within this community of what God is actually doing. And everyone is seeing it. The Jews are seeing it. The Greeks are seeing it. And it says that there's a fear that falls upon them, right? And when you think about fear, when the Bible usually talks about the fear of the Lord, it's a reverence for the Lord. It's a respect for him. And so what's happening within this community after seeing and being a part of Paul's teachings, after seeing those who really know Jesus and those who don't, right, and say that they do, after seeing the miracles happen through Paul and through the other disciples, there's a fear which is really a reverence that's falling on the people right now. One that we should all have. A reverence is coming upon them, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified. And many who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. And so as revelation happens, as spiritual awakening happens within your own life or within the people in your community, right? The people in your environment, once they believe, they are going to confess. That's how revival happens. That's how a spiritual awakening happens. Is that once someone actually meets Jesus and they just don't play like they do, right? That they don't just know the Jesus of their friends, of their family, of maybe their husband or their wife, but they personally know who Jesus is. There is this fear that comes upon all of us who have accepted God. This reverence of I am standing or I know the God who created me. And then from that, belief happens and then confession happens. Right? And it says confessions and they started telling each other other deeds. This is stages of a revival. This is stages of a spiritual awakening happening within this community. This reverence of God, this belief in God, and then this confession of sin, of areas that you have fell short, right? Of places that you have missed the mark in your life. And so what's happening at the very end of this first half of Acts chapter 19 is that people are waking up. After 2 years, right? After miracles are being done, after false people are going out there doing the works of the Lord but don't really know the Lord, the people of Ephesus are finally waking up to what Paul has been talking about, or what Paul has been preaching about, or what Paul has boldly been speaking about, is that Jesus is the answer. And then when you realize that in your life, there is this reverence that comes, there is this belief that comes, and then there is this need, right, to confess your sins before the Lord. And then verse 19 says, also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mighty and prevailed. And so what's happening here, which is the last point, is that true discipleship requires action. At the very end of what Paul is getting at here is this reality, this spiritual awakening, and then people are now reacting. And they start cutting off the enemy. They start cutting off their sin. They start cutting off the strongholds that the enemy had on them. That they take things in their life that they once found value in, and they seek to destroy those things and to separate themselves from the things. They take the things that they invested in that cost them money, and they give it up to the Lord, right? And so when it says right here that all these people gathered together, right, in verse 19, and they brought their books. Again, these are people who practice magic, who practice sorcery, who literally had potions, right? These were people who were very hyper-spiritual, but not towards the right God, right? They spent a lot of time and money in the things that they owned. And it says that they burned them all up, right? And it counted up to them a total of 50,000 pieces of silver. Early on, people thought that this was between $3 and $5 million now, right? And then the last thing I heard of this is possibly up to $15 million. That these people of Ephesus got literally everything that would separate them from the Lord, that would hold them to their past life and their past practices, and they burned it up, right? Their books, their potions, anything that cost them money, anything that they chose to invest in, if it wasn't of God, if it wasn't of the Lord Jesus Christ, who they are seeking to know now fully, right, to believe and to confess in him, they have given it up. They have burned it up. That is true discipleship. And again, true discipleship is going to require some action. And so as you're looking at these people, right, what did they do? They heard the word of the Lord. They saw God move. They saw those who truly followed God and those who didn't. And then they made a decision for themselves at that moment. And they chose to have a fear of the Lord, a reverence for the Lord. They chose to believe, and they chose to confess their sins. And then after they made that personal decision, they chose to exercise that openly. And they chose to take action in their life. And they chose to collect all the stuff in their life that was their old man or their old woman, and they burned it all up. They didn't care how much it cost them. They didn't care how long they had those things, right? They just gave it up. And why? It's because a true disciple, a true follower of the Lord, it is going to cost you something. The Bible tells us to count the cost when we're following after Jesus, to count the cost of what it means to give your life to him. And what you see them also doing is what Romans 12 talks about, is that they're choosing to be these living sacrifices, right? Holy and acceptable to God, right? They're choosing to not be conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. They're choosing to obey the Lord even in the sacrifices that they're giving him. They're choosing to start meditating on the good things and not on the practices of witchery, right? Of sorcery. So they're making these decisions to clear out their own minds, to clear out their own past, to clear out their old ways of living, and to truly follow after the Lord. And so I don't know what that looks like for you guys today, right? I don't know if you have books to get rid of, right? But I think nowadays it's probably more of people to unfollow, right? It's probably more now looking at those things that you see or that you listen to on your phone and choosing to block those people or influencers, right? Or choosing to separate yourself from maybe individuals, right? Maybe it's you separating yourself from things that you listen to, right? Maybe it's separating yourselves from certain people for a time, right? Because right now you're not spiritually healthy enough to be around them. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I do know that if you want a revival to happen in your life and the people around you, if you do want your own spiritual awakening, right? If you do want new revelations from the Lord, it's going to take dedication of his word, right? It's going to take you allowing God to do miracles in your life and to realizing he does do miracles. It's going to take you actually knowing Jesus and not just the Jesus of your parents or of your spouse, or of your friends, or even of your past, but to know the Jesus now that wants to speak to you. And it's going to take some action. It's going to take you giving something up. And again, I'm not the Holy Spirit right now, right? In your own life, I can't tell you what you need to give up. Chances are, right, that you already know the things that God is trying to get rid of in your own life. You probably already know the people that God doesn't want you to hang out with. You probably already know those people that you follow, right, that you need to unfollow. You probably already know the things that you are doing that God doesn't want you to do, or at least want you to do at this moment, right? Again, I cannot be the Holy Spirit in your lives. I don't know your guys' life, but you guys are all grown adults, right? And I believe that the Lord is speaking to you, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and he is telling you to give up certain things, to truly follow after him, and to know that it does cost something to follow after Jesus. You have to look at the cost of what that is in your own life, and it does take you denying certain things. And so the question is, what have you denied in your life to follow after Jesus? And it could be different, right? Like, I accepted the Lord when I was 14 years old. There's things I gave up at 14 years old, and there's things I need to give up now, right? There's probably things you gave up when you started following after Jesus, but what right now is God saying to deny to follow after him fully in your life? What is that? Because we are all works in process, right? Like, we are all still being sanctified, being set apart for God's holiness. There is always something that God is trying to do in our lives. There is always more that God is trying to refine in our lives. There's always more that God is trying to strip us of so that we can look like him, so that we can be holy like he is holy. And so what is that thing in your life? What are those things in your life? Who are those people in your life, right? What are the things that you need to deny, that you need to give up, that God's saying, you don't need that anymore if you are truly going to follow after me? and be a follower of me. In James chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, it says this: if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So James is telling us not to be that person, not to be that follower of Jesus who looks in the mirror and sees the imperfections and then chooses not to do anything about them. That you are called to not just hear the word of God, but to do something with it. And that is what's happening with the people of Ephesus. They've been hearing the word of God. They've been seeing the miracles of God. They've been seeing who really does have the power of God and who doesn't. And now they're making a decision for themselves to have a fear of the Lord, to have a belief in God, to confess their sins, and to get rid of the things that God doesn't want for them in their lives to truly follow after him. They are looking in the mirror and they're choosing to do something about their reflection. They are not just being hearers of the word, but doers only. And doesn't matter what stage of your Christianity you're in, doesn't matter how close you are to the Lord or not, doesn't matter if you've been following for 20 years or for 5 years, every single one of us, right? Every single one of us has something that we look at that we're saying, I don't know if that's fully Jesus. And I need to fix that, right? I need the power of the Holy Spirit to do something with that, right? Every single one of us, even if we're so close to the Lord right now, there are still things that God is saying, hey, I need to be more involved in this in your life, right? Or I need to strip this. You need to give this up. Or you need to act more like this, right? Do not be just a hearer of the word, but a doer also. Don't look at the mirror and see the things, the imperfections, and then choose to walk away thinking you look great and you look perfect, right? God wants to continue to work in your life. Why? What's the end goal of why God wants to do this? It's so that he can fulfill the promises that he has for us in our lives, so that he can give us that abundant life that he has to offer. What life you're living now for the Lord can and will get better if you're choosing to follow after him. If you choose to wake up every single morning and deny yourself, right? Die to yourself, look at the mirror, allow him to fix the things that he needs to fix. There is a better life for you even now. And some of you may think, well, I have the best life right now. God is blessing me with this, with that, with kids, with a job, with whatever, all these exciting things are happening. Doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter how good your life is right now with Jesus Christ, it literally could get better because he still has more for you. He still has more abundant things that he wants to give you, right? He still has more that he wants to show you. Your days are just going to get better. Your better days are yet to come when you're following after Jesus. If there's a dedication to him, if there's an allowance for miracles to happen, right? If there's an awareness, right, that you are living the spiritual life, and then there's a discipline in your life to allow true discipleship to happen and to take action in your life. So I'm going to read James one more time. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Don't leave this morning without recognizing what God is trying to show you to deny of yourself, right? To give up. Just simply do it, right? As we get into this last song of worship, this is your opportunity right now to respond. This is your opportunity to say, you know what? Yes, I do need to deny this in my life. I do need to stop maybe living in fear, right? I do need to trust you more. I do need the separation from my sin. I need the power of the Holy Spirit right now to do that. Every single one of us, regardless of how close we are to the Lord now, there are still things that God wants to do. There are still ways that God wants to move in your life. And so again, the question is, have you in your life right now that you need to deny to follow after the Lord more closely? And again, this is your opportunity to do that, to just bring that before the Lord so that you can have a spiritual awakening again, right? So you can have a new revelation of who God is in your life, so that you can have a revival within your own life and hopefully in the people around you. God wants to speak to you first. God wants to give you that abundant life first. God wants to allow you to follow and accept and live in his promises. And when he does that for you, you are going to be more than open and willing and excited than to share the gospel with other people around you. But he has to do that work within you first. And the way that he's going to do that is if you first choose to deny yourself and to follow after Jesus. And again, he tells us to do that every single day. We have the opportunity to do that now so you can leave here, right? More spiritually awake, right? More spiritually awake to what God is doing within you and what he wants to do through you. All right, let's stand up. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We just thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you just for speaking to us. The fact that it is not simply just the word of God, and it's not simply just the miracles, but it's the relationship that we can have with you, Lord, by denying ourselves, by denying the things in our lives, by picking up our cross daily and following after you, Lord, that will cause a revelation, Lord, of new things, that will cause then a revival, that will cause a new spiritual awakening in our own lives, and that will literally cause change. And so we just pray for that, Lord. I pray for that within myself, Lord, within the leadership, the worship team, Lord, within the people who are here right now, that we would just give those things up to you, those things that are keeping us from you. And we thank you that you take those things, Lord, and if we need forgiveness, you offer forgiveness, that we can be made new, Lord, this morning, and we can leave here with a new anticipation, a new promise of an abundant life. Lord, we can be excited about the things that you want to do through us and in us. And I just thank you that you've made all those things possible by your son on the cross. Lord, you made all the things possible by this new life that you have given us. And so I just pray that we would walk in that, Lord, that we would take advantage of the things that are right there in front of us, right? The good gifts, Lord, that you have to offer us. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Remnant of Tucson is a church founded on the vision to see people stranded in sin find life through knowledge and devotion to Jesus. If you would like to learn more about us, sign up for our newsletter, or partner with us financially, go to remnantoftucson.com.